Blog Talk Radio.
The other part of that song that I like, you see, the signs are everywhere. I was in Israel when God, I woke up in the morning to pray in tongues. To as I was praying, it was as if the water got down my head. And then I heard the king is coming. Somebody said the king is coming. The signs are everywhere. The king is coming. Somebody prepare, the king is coming. So it's a fact. But then God gave me another revelation to that song. That the king is stepping into your situation. Say he's coming. Say my king is coming. Say my king is coming. So if you are believing God for a baby, say my king is coming. And every eye will see him. Are you ready? I don't know what you are believing God for, but I came to announce to you that your king is coming. He's coming with miracles. He's coming with signs. He's coming with healing. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise. You know, and when I sang that song in New York, Pastor Elsie wrote the other part. The truth is empty. He died for me.
Thank you.
persecution, we have overcome. The shadow of we dead for life. That's good news for someone. Then you gave us the right to your holy name. The shadow of power and strength. There is no fear, you cannot change. Baba.
Roar against poverty, roar. Roar, let your hearing flow. Thank you.
Baltimore Warriors in January. He's shooting for his friend. And he said it. Just a simple melody came to my heart. I just recorded all this. But while I was sharing with myself yesterday, that song just came up in my heart. And throughout the sex, incoming, I just think you should sing it to the simple song. I'll teach you and then we'll learn it very quickly. It's a simple song. It's a chant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Everybody,
say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. with them. Hey, he just sent a message.
Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth, O God. We thank you for your presence in our midst, O God. For your word declare that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. Father, we ask you to bless us with ears to hear this morning and a spirit to receive, O God. Lord, we ask that you look upon the frailty of our stature and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, we pray this day that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask this morning that you stretch forth your hand over the United States of America, over Africa, over India, over Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. Lord, over the Fiji Islands, the Philippine Islands, over Brazil, over, oh God, over all the world, Lord Jesus, the Caribbean, Canada, Lord, over Europe, God, we ask today, God, that you stretch forth your hand of compassion over the airways, oh God, and Lord, that you draw men and women, boys and girls to you today, Lord. Father, speak through your service today as never before. As you do part two of this message, God, we ask that you use them as the very oracles of heaven here on earth to glorify your name, to edify your body and terrify the devil. And we'll be careful, oh God, to give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Apostle and Bishop, come on in.
We're here. Thank you so much. We're here. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Can you hear us, Apostle?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I was just doing something. Come on in.
Yeah, I was trying to get something together, too. We thank God this morning. It's morning over here. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter what time, we're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a good time.
Amen.
Wherever you are, glory be to God. It's always a good time when we're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Today, friends, we are still talking about the same subject. This is something that God wants us to know and to reiterate, the fact that God is always with us, even when we make mistakes. Amen. Compassionate God, just the way Apostle was preaching on yesterday. By the way, Apostle, I listened to the entire message, and it was absolutely wonderful, reminding us about how wonderful God is and how compassionate he is, talking about the fact that we ought to always be willing. God will make us able, but we have to be willing to be that good Samaritan, to listen to God. So I love that Samaritan story. Just want to let you know that I did listen to the message last night and that I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm going to go back and listen again because it was so good, talking about the love and the compassion of God. Amen. If it weren't for his compassion and his love, we would all be lost, and we would all be on our way to a horrible place, that horrible place called hell. So because of God, when you decide that we're going to be with God and we're going to follow God, then we're going to be on our way to heaven and not hell-bound and heaven-bound. We talked about that last time. So anyway, we're going to continue to talk about the fact that God is with us even when we make mistakes. The topic is a very, very short topic, favor in the midst of failure. We talked about Jacob last time. We're going to talk about him a little bit more because in some Bibles, the narrative is not exactly the way it should be. So we have to be careful about what Bibles we're reading. And we always need to go back to the Hebrew to see exactly what God is talking about, because in the original text, it's a little bit different from some of the Bibles, like ESV. ESV has a different narrative about what was happening with Jacob. And so we're going to touch on it just a little bit more. And as I listen back to part one, I made a mistake with the name of the mother of Jacob. Her name is Rebecca and not Rachel. And sometimes I get those two names mixed up, Rachel and Rebecca. But the mother's name is Rebecca in this story. Amen. So just wanted to rectify that. That's why it's always good to go back and listen. Listen to the messages, all of the messages, and study the word for ourselves. Glory be to God. We say that all the time because we all can make a mistake. Amen. So we need to go back and listen and study for yourself. It's always good. And so I go back and I critique myself. I do. I critique myself. I don't go back to critique anybody else. But if I hear something, I don't go to critique. That's the difference. We go to study. We go to check it out. Amen. Not to critique. But if we find that there's something that is not quoted correctly or something that is not right, which the Word of God is always right, but we're human. We're human. Only God is perfect. He's perfect in all his ways. And so, but when we go back, we want to learn for ourselves. Apostle tells us that all the time, and we all say that. Let's go back and study for ourselves to show ourselves approved. Amen? And so as we look at this narrative, the right narrative is that when we study the book about Jacob, when we study in Genesis about Jacob, when we look a little further into it, we will see that it was Jacob that was really deceived. He was really deceived. Jacob was definitely done wrong by his family. He was the one that was done wrong. He had, you know, it's in the beginning, even before he was born. We're going to look at that a little bit more because it needs to be known that some things that happened with Jacob was not his fault. It was not his fault. He didn't know a lot of what was going on, and he was the quiet one. So let's just look at that a little bit more, and we're also going to talk a bit more about the failing part. You know, we always want to hear the good parts. We want to hear about all the favor of God, you know, and all of the blessings of God and what God is going to do for us. But we don't want to always talk about why we fail and some of the reasons why things happen. Sometimes it happens because the enemy has come in, just like he did in this story about Jacob. The enemy came in even while they were in their mother's womb. The enemy came in to do some deceiving. Amen? And Isaac wasn't any better in this story. He wasn't much better in this story. So everybody, even Isaac made a mistake. Even Isaac had it wrong. Glory be to God. So God promised Abraham that his descendants would be blessed. It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac was the son of Abraham. So we're just going to look at it a little more, Apostle, because we want people to know that there's a narrative that we really need to look at and look at the fact that people do make mistakes. That's what we're looking at. We make mistakes. We do fail sometimes. But that God is always there to correct things if we would just listen. So a word came from God to we have to look at that part, that a word came from God to Rebecca when the children were in her womb. So we have to look at that. She heard from God. And so I had to go back and look at the story to see if there was anything that we didn't explain in the story. Now, most of us are seasoned, or we're seasoned on this line, and most of us have read this story and know about the story of Jacob. Well, we look at him just as a deceiver, as a trickster. That's how we look at him. But when you look at him, you see, when you look at it again, you will see that he was tricked as well. He was tricked, and his family failed him because he went to his uncle. You know, so let's just go back a little bit, not too long today, but just a little bit to see what else happened with Jacob, and that he wasn't all wrong. He wasn't such a terrible person that many people make him out to be when they preach about it. He was a trickster, and he got tricked because he was a trickster. But he fell into a trap. That's the way it looked to me. It was like he was falling into a trap because his family was involved in this. His dad, Isaac knew that Jacob was supposed to be the one to get the blessing. He knew, but he wanted Esau because Esau came out first.
Yeah.
Rebecca, see that name, those two names. Bishop had to correct me when we were listening to it. He said, you're going to see, he said Rachel. And I'm so glad that he was listening. Glory be to God. So we have to listen. And I'm always one to say when I've said something, I've made a mistake, it's all right. It's all right because we all, not just because we all do it, but when we realize there's a mistake, we just need to correct it. That's all. And the Holy Spirit brought that through Bishop, and so it made me go back and look at the story. And it's always good to go back and look. Like I said, even when we listen to other preachers, we need to go back. Just like I listened to Apostle last night, we go back, not to critique, but we go back just because we want to hear more. There may be something that we missed. There may be something that wasn't right, and then we need to get it right. That's all. God wants us to get it right, just the way he intended it to be, and he will speak to us in that reference. Amen?
Yes.
So glory be to God. So let's get to it. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Once again, Apostle, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to be here once again this morning, and we're grateful to God.
Amen.
Glory. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The what?
Brother Deacon.
Yeah, Brother Deacon is there as usual. He's always there. He's a faithful young man. He's on the line every day. Glory be to God. And many others come every day, mostly. Glory be to God. But what I love about Deacon is that he's a faithful friend. He's faithful. He's a caring young man. He is full of compassion. Amen. We could have used Deacon. We can say that Deacon is full of compassion and love. He really is. And so is Apostle, and so are others on this line. Deacon is faithful. He will call to check on us. He's always willing to listen to the word. He's always ready to pray. Amen. And that's wonderful. But none of us are perfect. We're all human, just like Jacob. He made some mistakes, but it wasn't all his fault. He was failed by his family as well. Amen. So I just want to make that point. And we're just going to talk a little bit more about this Jacob story, because the story is powerful. It really is powerful. And it shows that God is always in the midst. In the mix. He's there. He's there before us. He knew before us. He knew this was going to happen before all of it happened. God knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Amen. And so he shows me that there is more to the story that we need to bring out before we go any further. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Father. So we can kind of look at Jacob as being a righteous. He's also, we can look at him as righteous. We've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Us as who were once sinners have been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. of God. You see, Jacob, he was unconverted. He was unconverted. And he stole his brother Esau's birthright and blessing. But later on in Genesis 28, where we were last time, Bishop, he was converted. When God appeared to him in a dream, when he had the dream about the angels ascending and descending, all right, in Genesis 28. So this story involves, yes, we can go to 28, sir. We will be in different places here, but glory to God. By the way, Claude is all right. He's just...
Oh, okay.
He's fine. Glory be to God.
I don't worry
about it. So Esau selling Jacob his birthright, and Jacob deceiving his father Isaac and his uncle Laban. All of this is in the narrative here. But we all look at Jacob as such a horrible, terrible person. Horrible what he did. So thing is that Jacob came out of the womb. When he was in his mother's womb, he came out.
Rebecca's womb.
His mother's womb, Rebecca. Thank you, Bishop. It's Rebecca. Yes. I don't know why I want to say Rachel all the time. But Rachel.
Rachel
is the one who is going to be married to Jacob. She married Jacob. They married each other. So some Bibles, just be careful, because we got to be careful about what Bibles we're reading. So Jacob's name means not just trickster when you go back. So it's just a common way that is being that Jacob is being preached about. Jacob was actually righteous from birth. He was born into the blessing. Amen.
Yes.
Born into. Remember we said that last time. He was called blameless.
Mm-hmm.
He was called blameless in Genesis 25. But most preachers do not preach from that narrative, that he was called blameless, okay? He did not know in his womb what was going, in his mother's womb, what was going on. He's blameless. He's a baby. He's not even born yet. But the enemy is in the mix of things. The enemy is there, amen, because God had already made a promise to Abraham. And the devil wanted to do something. As always, he's the deceiver. He's the one that's the deceiver. Mm-hmm. He comes in to deceive, to kill, to destroy. This is what the enemy does. And he knows a bit about what has been planned for us. Because remember, he was up there with God. Amen? So when they were children and growing up, Esau was the one that became a hunter. He's called the man of the field. While Jacob was the quiet one, they say that he was dwelling in the tents in Genesis 25 and 27. Genesis 25 and 27, it says that he dwelled in the tent. He was the quiet one. So the Hebrew for quiet also translates as righteous, quiet. The problem here is that when we look here at Jacob, we always look at him as the really bad one. But when you think about it, Esau is the one that came devised this thing in his head because he loved the stew. Like, go ahead. You go ahead, sir.
I would like to go back. I don't know exactly where it is.
Go back.
But Jacob put
heel of Esau. Let's go there, because a lot of people, the way it's preached, a lot of times it's preached in the wrong way, because everybody looks at Jacob just as the deceiver. Only as a deceiver, only as a trickster.
He was deceived.
He actually was done wrong by his family. Even Laban did it wrong.
His brother
wanted to kill him and all that. But anyway,
okay.
He's described just like Job is described as blameless. Jacob is described as blameless in the Hebrew. Abraham is described as blameless, which is another word for righteous, the righteousness of God, because they were all part of the inheritance. They were born into the blessing. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So the blameless part translates into even-tempered. This is Jacob. Even-tempered. Still in the 25th book of Genesis. He was quiet, even-tempered. That's another translation. But many of the translations, many of the preachers who preach refuse or do not know that that's another way we have to see him as being blameless here, because he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that when he was in the womb. He didn't know what his mother had heard. He didn't know any of that. He's an infant, just like when we don't know the word of God, when we don't know what God's intentions are for us. We don't know all the plans of God. Jacob didn't know all the plans of God. He learned more as he went along. As we go along, we learn more, and we can see. We see things like previews. God gives us previews. He gives us what we need to see. But God knows the whole plan. Jacob did not know the whole plan, nor did Esau.
Mm-hmm.
But we would say that Rebekah did so wrong, because it's preached like that Rebekah did so wrong. It's preached that way because of what she did. But what she was doing was for the right. It was for the right. And some people will say, well, how can you say that this trick, this way of trickery was for the right? But she heard from God. She heard from God. So let's move on.
Okay.
So Esau is a hunter. He's the man of the field. He got to do the work. He goes out while Jacob dwells in the tent. And when you really look at it and you are listening for the Holy Spirit, it would seem that since he got to go out and do all the work, he's the one that God, that's being used as providing. He's got to go out and get the food and all of this stuff. So he's a hunter. So when we look at the description of Jacob, his name really means blameless. Look it up. And the other one is known, Esau, as a man knowing to hunt. So does quiet, one is quiet, one is a hunter. But blameless and hunter just don't go together. How can you look at blameless and hunter and say that, you know, that would make Jacob blameless because he dwells in tents, and the other one is the hunter because he goes out and bring back the food for the family? So he's looked at as the hunter, but those two just, there's a contrast there. And so.
Because they were twins.
Yeah, they were twins, but there was some violence in the womb. They were twins,
mm-hmm.
But there was violence in the womb, and it was all because the enemy came. God calls us righteous. When you look at it, our foreparents, Adam and Eve, what they did caused all the problems that's going on right now. We can go all the way back to them. So when we were born into sin, in a way you could look at it as blameless, because we don't know what we're born into. We're just babies. And so when you look at blameless in terms of righteousness, God gave us righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we weren't righteous when we were born. We have to be born again, amen, to become the righteousness, or for the righteousness to come upon us because of the blood that was the blood covenant, because of the blood. All right, so Jacob, in the same sense, is born into this situation. It's not his fault. It's not our fault that Adam and Eve listened to the devil. It wasn't our fault. And since God, being the compassionate God that Apostle was talking about yesterday, that loving, kind, compassionate God, it was not our fault that that happened. It was the devil that came in and deceived Eve and Adam. And so God makes a way through his son, the way himself. He makes a way for us to get back our inheritance that was stolen.
Yes,
sir. Amen?
Amen.
So, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us a bit more about what's going to happen in 28. So you really have to go back and read 25 and go on from 25 to 28. And we will see that failure can be attributed to Esau and not Jacob. Go to Genesis 25, verse 34, Bishop. We're going to wait for you to get there, because we have to look at this for more, because the Holy Spirit was bringing to me there's so much more about this story. Since I did hear Jacob in my spirit when I was doing this lesson, I heard Jacob in my spirit, so I wanted to go. So actually, I was led to go to the part where
34.
Yes, 34, 25, and 34. I was led to go there to show that he did fail. He did fail, but we all failed.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
The 25th chapter
of Genesis.
The 34th.
That's all right, amen.
Hallelujah. Talk about a fast
read. So, Apostle, I just had to go back here because it's so good. It's so good, some of the other points about this story about Esau, and we'll try to make it quick. 34,
okay.
25 and 34, and go on to 31.
Wait, now go back to 31.
Yeah, go to 31 first. Go to 31 first, 25 and 31. That'll be much better.
Okay. And 31. Okay. It says, correct if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Jacob replied, first of all.
Go a little bit further up.
Okay.
Because we need to get this.
Okay.
Okay.
You tell me. Okay.
30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Very good. Take your time, Bishop.
Believe me, I'm taking my time.
Bishop is reading without his glasses, by the way. Hallelujah.
Wear glasses.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Well, I have my glasses on. I can see a lot better with them.
Okay.
Cheetahs,
huh?
He said, cheetahs.
He said,
amen.
Amen.
Jacob.
Thank you, Deacon. Bible study tonight, Deacon.
He said,
8 o'clock. Go ahead. Go ahead, read.
Okay. He said,
God be glory.
Amen.
Let me have rib. Oh, let me have some of that rib stew. Ah,
31. Are you in 30? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And just let me have some of that red stew. Jacob was speaking to Esau, yes? Because he's the one that cooked the stew, right?
When Esau came in from the field, he was hungry.
Oh, okay.
Esau comes in from the field.
he was
hungry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Read what you got. Because I think it says the same things.
Well, I'm just remembering the story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I can read it.
Go ahead.
Give it to me. Hallelujah.
Right here.
Amen. So we talked about how they grew up together. One became this hunter. Jacob was content to stay at home. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So that's just saying that was their favorite. So 29 says, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in. We're in Genesis 38 now. Genesis 38. Genesis 25. So once when Jacob was cooking some stew, 29, Esau came in from the open country famished, which means he was extremely hungry, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. I'm so hungry.
Uh-huh.
And that is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Now, he said, let me have some of that red stew. Let me have a part of you. Because when we study further, when Jacob was born, when Jacob was cooking some stew, he called it the red stew. Now, this is very significant here. Let me have some of you. Let me have some of you. Wait a minute. Because when he was born blood red.
Yeah.
Blood red. He was so red when he was born. So when he's asking him for that stew, let me have a part of you. And he's a bit jealous of his brother. Because you can stay here in the tent while I got to go out and do the work. Okay? So there was some jealousy going on there as well. You can feel that in your spirit when you're reading the story. Let me have some of that, some of you. So he said, quick. He said, quick, let me have some. I'm real hungry. So Jacob replied, sell me your birthright. What good is the birthright to me? Now the daddy. Jacob, wait, let's go back to 31. This story is so, so powerful. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. 32 reads, look, I'm about to die. Esau said, what good is the birthright to me? Because I'm about to die. But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
34. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright.
Uh-huh.
He despised it. He despised it. When the blessing comes upon the firstborn,
uh-huh,
that blessing comes with a lot of responsibility. Uh-huh. Just like with us. When the blessing, if we want the blessing of the Lord, here's the narrative, here's this little part. When you want the blessing of the Lord, we desire the blessing, we got to do the work. We got to do the work. When you're left an inheritance, that inheritance is supposed to be appreciated.
That's right.
And we got to continue to do the good work that allowed us to have such an inheritance.
Amen.
We got to continue to do the work. So this is about work, and this is about another one who can stay home. It's the same way when you look at it with discipleship. We have to do the work to disciple. We have to be the good leader to disciple. We got to do what's right to disciple people in the right way and give them what God intends for them to have.
Yes.
Through his word. Amen?
Amen?
We do it through the word as we teach. It's not so much about, like Apostle was saying, it's not a hooping word. It's not a word that's going to have you hopping all over. But God wants us to understand the deeper things about his word, you know. So we got to go deep. We got to go a little deeper to understand what another part of this that's not really preached that I have not heard preached, that Jacob also was deceived.
Uh-huh.
You see?
He was deceived
because the enemy knew about the blessing, and he wanted to rob him of that, okay? So the daddy preferred Esau. The mama preferred Jacob. But mama heard something from God, amen? And we'll get to that. But God has said to us, if we want to be righteous, we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Hallelujah.
And when we accept him as our Savior, we become part of the blood covenant. We get the blessing of the blood covenant. But with the blessing comes responsibility.
No.
And this young man, apparently he was tired of doing the work. Look, give me your stew. Give me some of that. I'm famished. I've been out here. In other words, I'm the one that provided for it anyway. But he loved the way it tasted. He loved how, and some people say he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. That's the way it's preached.
Uh-huh.
He sold it. But God was in the mix. God was in the mix here. God was present here. God knew exactly what was going on. Nothing goes unbeknownst to God.
He knew exactly what the enemy did.
Amen. Amen. So when we read the story of Esau selling his birthright as an example of Jacob's cheating. But it's not, you have to look at it, and it's not all about that.
Both of them were babies. They didn't
Esau despised, Genesis 25 again, 34.
Okay.
Genesis 25 and 34.
Isn't she quick?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Quick, give this too. That's what makes people say that.
So Jacob gives Esau some bread and some stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. Esau despised his birthright.
That's right.
He didn't want that responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, he just wanted to stay home and be in the tents too.
Yeah.
Just stay home. I got to go do all the work. Yeah. While you stay here, you the favorite, you mama's favorite. Mm-hmm. And, you know, children despise that. Mm-hmm. If a parent is showing favoritism toward another child, and they feel like they're getting all of the attention, mama loves you more or daddy loves you more, and it makes conflict between the children. And here's a lesson here. We should never do that. They should know that one is loved just as much as the other. And that's the same way with God. Whether you got, like Bishop was saying the other day, whether you have a position, a name tag, a title, or whatever, that doesn't mean that you're not just as important to God as someone that's just sitting in the pews or at the door, the doorkeeper, or you know, you might be one that just cleaned the church, but that's okay. I didn't mind doing it. I didn't mind doing anything for the church. We don't mind doing anything. Hit Bishop, please. I have to go for a minute to talk a little more, sir. I'll be right back.
Yes, we do. We do put people in positions like us. Well, she's an apostle. He's a bishop. you know, they're greater than us. That's not so. They're all God's children. And I want people to understand. I want people, and I know God wants you, because the Father in heaven tells me all the time, you are still the same one that's born to your mother and father. You are no better than any of my other children. I don't care what position you have. You know, our apostle says it all the time. All the people want to have, they want to show their bishop ring and their apostle ring and whatever. You know, we all have a ring of love that's wrapped around us by God himself. But God loves us all the same. He even loves murderers, rapists, people who look up pornography. You know, they're on the internet. He loves them. He loves them because we're all his children. And this is why he gave us Jesus, that we might come unto him. And I say it several times. I've said several times in the prayer of salvation, come unto Jesus while you still have time. Don't get caught short, because we all fall short of the glory of God. But God keeps giving us chance after chance after chance. An incident happened just a few weeks ago. One of my coworkers crossed over. He was 86 years old. I didn't even know he was that old. But he was telling us on the job like 15, 20 years almost ago about when he was younger, before he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, you know. And, I mean, this man would not miss a Bible study, wouldn't miss church or nothing. But he saw the error of his ways. He was selling marijuana, him and his friend. At that time, he was like, you know, 86, man. And he was about 38 years old, something like that. And he said, man, he said, I stopped that. I stopped that foolishness. Well, I saw the same guy, because he lives out here in Slidell. I saw him about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. He said, I asked him, I said, well, your friend that you and him was into that thing you was doing. He said, man, don't you know that this man is the same age as me, and he's still doing that? You know, he said, I've been trying to talk to this man for a long time. You know, say, man, you don't go get to heaven like this, man. You have to ask God for forgiveness. There's some people who just think that, well, you know, there is no hell, or listen to what people say foolishly. You know, God knows my needs. That's why I'm with this woman over here. God knows you're going to burn if you don't change your habits. And he's trying to keep you from burning for all eternity. Open your eyes. Open your heart. Open your mind. You do. You know, you have an intellect and a will. Be intelligent about your intellect. And stop doing the will of God, not your will. Yeah. If you listen to the prayer that Jesus taught of, it says, God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, thy will, God's will. Don't get carried away with the worldly things, because it's going to come to an end. And there's nothing that you can take away from this world with you. When you go to hell or heaven, and I prefer that we all go to heaven, it's just my way. I mean, I prefer everybody go to heaven. There's some who still don't believe there's a hell. Yeah. Oh, no, they don't believe it.
No,
they don't believe that there's a hell. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know you had taken it with you. Or did you, Pastor? Go ahead.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, the Holy Spirit. You brought it to my mind.
Amen.
You want to go back to this at where?
Let's go here first.
Okay.
Let's go a little further here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Describes Esau as unholy, and states that he sold his fate birthright for a single meal.
You see, some people.
Then in Genesis 26, 34 35, Genesis 27 and 46. Genesis 26, 34.
When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judah, daughter of the daughter of Daryl, and who is that? Daughter of Daryl and the daughter of Daryl the Hittite. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Hittite. Yeah. And also
Isaac.
The daughter of the Hittite. And also
where's the phone?
Phone is right over there, babe.
No, it's not.
It's on the Bible, honey.
Oh, okay. As long as they can hear you.
Yeah, that's what I can pray so they can hear both of us.
Hallelujah.
Daryl the Hittite, and also the daughter of Edom.
Anyway, he married, he married the Canaanites.
Oh.
Esau married Hittite women. That's what it's saying.
Idol worshippers.
Canaanites. And it made Isaac and Rebecca, is it right here? Let me read it exactly. I just remember the story.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back.
There's two different Bibles. You see, they have.
Yeah, my Bible is different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 26, chapter 26, verse 34.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah. I tell you, it's written up like more Hebrew or more.
Okay. When Esau, bear with us, please. Bishop's Bible is different from mine. He called it Sheba, and to this name, the name of the town is Beersheba.
That's the same thing. 26. Verse 34. Two different Bibles here. It's written up different.
Yeah, your Bible has the She was a Hittite, just like I said.
Uh-huh.
Basemath's daughter is Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. So Isaac and Rebekah grieved over that because he was not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So here is another lesson. We should do what's right. When we live our lives in a righteous way, when we're doing what's right, it really honors our parents. It's an honor to the family. When you have a child that does what's right and does according to the word of God and how they're taught,
what?
He was not supposed to go and marry into these Hittites. And it grieved them because it was not of God. And so when we have godly parents and then the children go outside of the word of God and just wayward children and just do whatever they want to do, it'll grieve the parents when we know what's right and the children go the opposite direction. So as daughters and sons,
we can look at it as unto our Father in heaven. Just like when we dishonor our parents, our earthly parents, even the more so God. Even the more so Yahweh, El, God. Because we're going the opposite direction of the plan that he has for us. However, even though we go the opposite direction, God has a way of bringing us back into line.
Yes,
amen. Because he is a compassionate God, because he does love us, he'll get us back in line when we're listening. So it grieved the parents. Also, it grieved God. It grieves El, Yahweh, Yah, when we go the wrong way. It's grievous to our wonderful God, Yahweh.
Come on, Pastor.
So he instructed Jacob. He was instructed, Jacob also was instructed not to marry Canaanite women, but marry from within his family. That's in Genesis chapter 28. For the sake of time, it's simply saying that's what he said to Jacob. Don't marry outside of the family. Stay in the family. It's the same thing we were saying in the last message as we are teaching on failure, meaning that we make mistakes and sometimes we go our own way. Esau went his own way. But yet when preachers preach this story, it makes it look like Jacob did all the wrong. Jacob was the one that did everything bad. But Esau went and married outside the family. Jacob listened to his parents and stayed within the family.
Yeah, that's why he left his uncle.
So Jacob, Esau, is now rebelling. He's a rebellious one. He marries outside of the family, a Canaanite woman, and not within his family. So he's led to do something foolish. It's a foolish decision. When he took that other wife, not a Canaanite, but the daughter of Ishmael. Do I have that right? Help me, Holy Spirit. Esau makes a foolish decision. When we make those foolish decisions, thank you, Holy Spirit, we grieve God.
My God.
That's my point. We fail to do what's right. Amen?
Oh, glory.
His parents was grieved, and so was God. She was not. He was not supposed to do that.
Who did he marry?
Huh?
Who did he marry?
He married into the Canaanite women.
Yeah, I know.
And not from within the family. But Jacob did what his parents said to do. He stayed within the family.
No, but he did. He's okay. He just said he married a Canaanite woman.
Women.
Women, that's right.
He had more than one wife.
Yes.
More than one wife. This is very important here. It's showing us about unrighteousness. It's showing us that even when we make mistakes, we can still have the favor of God.
Yes.
Not that we should think that we could just continue to make the same mistakes. No, because when we make a mistake, it goes without saying that we should learn from it. Learn from our mistakes and not go there again. And that's called repentance. That's called turning away from the old ways, amen, and staying in the newness of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Staying in his newness. Your born-again state. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, Esau is looked at as a violent man who hated Jacob. He hated him. He hated his position because of the blessing, and he planned to kill him. That's why Jacob runs off. Jacob leaves in Genesis 27. The point here is that the blame is on Esau. It's Esau. First of all, you should not have wanted to sell your birthright. But the reason being is because he was tired of all of that. He did not want to be in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people don't want the position. They want the position, but they don't want the work. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe if he could have just had a position, because Daddy is about to die, and have a position as head and not have to do all the work, then maybe that wouldn't have been so bad for him. But he has to go out and provide. Amen? But when we do what God said, God will provide through others, through us, and through others. He's the provider. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about provision here. But Esau was jealous of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He was. We can see jealousy in here.
Yes.
And isn't that a problem in the church?
Uh-huh.
That's a big problem in the church. Jealousy is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes to hate people. And when we hate, we're just like murderers. That's what Jesus said. We're just like a murderer.
Yes.
So Jacob is never said to have done anything wrong, but he serves this wicked brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He still serves. You know, he still served this wicked brother. It doesn't say anything bad that Jacob is doing.
No.
Thirdly, in Genesis 25, gotta go there. Apostle, I gotta go there today. 25 verses 22.
To where?
22 to 23. Okay. Your numbers are in between.
Yeah, I know.
So let's start at 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So this is very painful. The babies are fighting in the womb. So she went to inquire of the Lord. Important here. And this is before they're born. She inquires of the Lord. These babies are violently moving inside of her body, and it's causing her some pain. And it's making her wonder why this is going on. This is not normal for her to feel all these things and these babies. She probably didn't even know she had twins in her stomach, and she didn't. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. She did not know. Here's what the Lord said. 23. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated."
Uh-huh.
Now he's telling her, you got two.
You got two.
One people will be stronger than the other,
mm-hmm.
and the older will serve the younger.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. God is saying this to her. She gets the word from the Lord.
Uh-huh. This is
so when the time came for her to give birth, there were twins in her womb.
Huh?
Verse 25, the first to come out was red. Whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go here. So she gets a word from the Lord. But this isn't telling us how Jacob is going to inherit the covenant. Whether it's just going to be given to him, directly given to him, or whether he would have to deceive to gain it. It doesn't say all that. But she heard from the Lord. So since the older child normally inherited the blessing, something out of the ordinary had to happen. The older child normally always inherited the blessing. Right? So here's the point. God spoke to her. I always thought that she did something horrible. But God spoke directly to Rebekah and told her that Jacob would inherit the promise. Uh-huh. And a lot of preachers don't say that. And the Lord said to her, two nations Remember, the Lord said, and they shall be divided. So the division was between the boys before they were even born.
That's right.
There was a division. There was that spirit of jealousy going on in there, a spirit of division inside the womb. That's a spiritual thing.
That's right.
It's spiritual.
Uh-huh.
My yep. God, there's always things going on in the spirit.
Yeah.
There's good and evil going on all the time.
It's always clash.
Right. Even in the womb of the baby. Hallelujah. So the older Esau is going to serve the younger Jacob.
Uh-huh.
He didn't like that. He did not like that. That was a sore spot to him.
Mm-hmm.
So Rebecca knew this word came from Eliah, Yahweh. Another name for God is El,
Yah.
And she most certainly told Isaac. She told Isaac. But Isaac, since Isaac would have known that Jacob was heir of the covenant, he should have been willing to give Jacob the blessing. But he wanted to give it to Esau.
Yeah.
So can you see here that Jacob is the one that's being treated unfairly, wrong?
Yeah.
His family failed him. We're talking about failure here. His family failed him, right? They're responsible. Parents have to do what's right by their children as well.
Yeah.
Children have to do right by parents. Parents do right by children.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isaac had to have known that Esau signed his birthright over to Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob and Esau made a contract between each other. And the daddy, Isaac, he knew. But Isaac wanted to undermine God's promise by blessing Esau. You see, Isaac loved because he ate of his game, whom Isaac loved. Isaac loved Esau. He loved that stew. He loved the game. He loved what Isaac was doing. Amen. So Isaac's behavior forced Jacob. Listen, his own father forced Jacob, along with the help of his mother Rebecca, to deceive Isaac in order to receive the blessing and fulfill God's promise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's why we got to study the word. God has made us some promises, but those promises will not be fulfilled. Those blessings will not come to us without us honoring God, without us being obedient to God,
mm-hmm.
following in the ways of the Lord. This woman heard from the father, and she told her husband. But Jacob is the one that's being viewed as the negative, as the evil, as the trickster, but his family failed him. Amen?
Amen.
So Isaac was the one who wanted to interfere with God's plan because Esau was his favorite. See what happens? It causes problems when we show favoritism, even in the church.
I think you're going where I was when you had to step out.
I had to step out, yes, sir. What did you say?
I said, Apostle Calendar told me he heard from the Lord to ordain me as a bishop.
That's what he said.
That's a position I did not want. But God says, I'm going to have to obey. And I do. I'm obeying.
We got to obey our calling. We got to obey.
But the thing is that I had a reason why I didn't want that. But now, you know, my eyes are getting wider and wider open.
Because you didn't understand.
But people don't understand that I love this position now, okay? But the thing is, I'm honored to do what I do, the prayer of salvation. That is my assignment.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
But people don't understand. I'm still James.
Amen.
You know, erase Bishop off of that. James is trying to tell you what the Lord has told him to tell you.
Amen.
Okay? Don't worry about what I'm called bishop.
No. Only look at the work.
Thank you.
And Jesus said the same thing.
People do
that. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe who I am, then just believe the work.
Hallelujah.
And now, this is what we ought to do, Bishop. You're right. Believe, hear the Lord, and believe what you see. Believe what you see going on here. When the people are doing the work, regardless of what the title is, respect the work. And that's what Jesus was saying. Respect and honor what I do.
He could be sitting on the bench in church.
Right,
could
exactly.
A doorkeeper.
That's right.
You could be no position other than the one you're sitting on, the position you're sitting at, the place you're sitting at, but you can spread the word of God.
Amen.
That's all of us.
Amen.
Bringing souls to the
kingdom. Doing the work.
The work.
Are you doing the work? That's the important thing.
Yeah, don't worry about what titles is put on me.
That's right. Yeah. How do we, you think God is not impressed by a title? God is pleased when we do his will.
Amen.
When we are obedient, it pleases God. If nobody had ever named you a bishop, if you had never been named bishop or me named apostle, or, you know, preacher, teacher, whatever.
Yeah.
Are we doing the work? We're doing the work of the Lord right now.
Yeah.
Respect and honor God's work.
Thank you.
So, this poor Rebecca has heard from the Lord, and she knows. She's actually a heroine in this story. She protected the covenant. She came against the trick of the devil, the serpent. That's right.
She did.
Because it was the devil that devised this whole thing. But it's God that has a covenant with his people, and the enemy want to get in and come in to steal, kill, and destroy.
Huh?
Even inside this woman's womb. These two boys were fighting.
Yes.
Rebecca is the one. She insisted that Jacob go through with the deception of Isaac in order to receive the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
See, Rebecca was willing to die. Hey, my God. She was willing to die for the covenant.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah.
And she took the responsibility of what she did on herself. It's on her.
That's how my best sister.
And when people read this story, we look at her as an evil mother. She was evil. But we forget, if we don't really pay attention, that God spoke to this woman. And she knew where the blessing was supposed to go. But Esau would be blessed too. There's two nations in her stomach.
Uh-huh.
Esau was still blessed after all he did. After his failure, God still blessed Esau.
Yes.
To shorten the story a little bit. So, Jacob's name, what does his name really mean? Does Jacob's name really mean, people say he cheated, he was just trickster. He came out of the womb holding Esau's heel, so they called him Jacob, Yaakov. That's what it is in Hebrew, Yaakov. Jacob's name is probably, it probably means, may he protect, or it seems to mean, may he protect, when you go a little further into the study, as being a rear guard. He's a rear guard. So isn't God our rear guard? Isn't God one who takes care of all of us?
Provider.
A provider.
Like he taught
you. One that has a position. So it's important for us to understand. And Jacob is initially given his name because he held Esau's heel at birth. That's in Genesis 25, verse 24. It's also in Hosea chapter 12, verse 3. You see, many Bibles have a, you know, all Bibles are just not the same. And I've been in quite a few of them, and they're all not the same. So we have to really go in and study what these things mean in Hebrew and Greek. But we're not going to focus on that. But we got to know, get a full understanding of what God is saying. And that's what study is all about. In order for us to get a full understanding, we just got to study. We just got to take the time and find out what exactly are you saying, God. And then God will speak to us. God will lead us. God led me back to the story. First of all, because the bishop said, that lady's name is not Rachel. But I've done that before, get those two R's mixed up there. But when he said that, the Holy Spirit led me to go back. I said, I got to fix this. We got to fix this. I got to go back because I wanted to have a better understanding. He put in my spirit. I wasn't satisfied in my spirit about the story, you know, because we have heard it preached over and over again about the trickster, about the, you know, but what's going on in that womb? What's going on when I read that and the dude was fighting in the womb and then I read again that Rachel heard from God. He spoke to her because she went to God. Rebecca. I mean, Rebecca. See what I'm saying? Rebecca. Thank you, Bishop.
I'm sorry.
Rebecca goes to God. I love that. I love what you do. I don't mind correction because that's how we grow. But if for some reason I keep saying Rachel, but...
Because you love my great-grandmother's name.
I do. I really love that name, Rachel, by the way. So here we are. Here I am. Here we are.
We are.
You and us, we're one.
Hallelujah.
And as we were studying, we went over, we listened to the message again. We listened to Apostle's message. We listen to other messages of other preachers that come on, and we listen and we learn and we listen and we learn because we want to know more. Because sometimes we don't really have a whole lot of time, you know, and people get bored with the Word of God. It excites me. The more I learn about God's Word, the more excited I am. I'm just excited about the Word of God, and I love learning more. I want to be not to brag on myself, because that's the Lord. The Lord makes us hungry. The Lord makes us thirsty. When we get a taste of God, when you get a taste of some good meat, you want to go back and get some more. Amen? When you get a taste of some good food, that's my favorite food. One of my favorites is fish and gumbo. Two of my favorites. Fish and gumbo.
Not together.
Well, together is even better. But not in the same bowl, no. Fried fish on the side with some gumbo.
Apostle wouldn't know nothing about that.
And some potato salad.
He wouldn't know nothing about that fried fish.
Oh, boy, he loves fried fish. And
I never made it swim again. Oh, I know.
Never made it swim again. When Apostle came, my son cooked fish, and he loved the way my son cooked the fish, and he said, Darren made the fish swim again. Apostle. He made us all crack up.
Yes.
But we enjoy when we're here.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. So, you know, we enjoy the blessings of the Lord, but we must not grieve God. We got to do what God says.
Hallelujah.
So Esau's name, see, I had that. Esau's name, as I read it again, Esau's name came from his appearance at birth. All right? He was the red one.
Yeah.
He was the hairy one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was the hairy one. That's how they fooled Jacob. That's how they tricked Jacob.
Animal.
That's how they tricked Isaac, because they had to make Jacob appear to be hairy.
Uh-huh.
So they got the animal hairs and put it on him.
Uh-huh.
So this is what Esau says in Genesis chapter 27, he says, this is Esau, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now he's saying he took away my birthright. And behold, now he's taken away my blessing. But he came out first.
Uh-huh.
But it was intended for Jacob to come out first. But there was a fight in the womb. So he's saying, he tripped me up. He grabbed my heel. He tripped me up. See, that's the play. That's words. He tripped me up because he knows the story about what happened. So Esau is using Jacob's name negatively, as if he tripped me up. He messed me up. I hate him now, but he always was jealous. I hate him now, and I want to kill him. But he has this negative way of looking at Jacob. Looking at Jacob. Jacob's name is preached. Well, Jacob is preached as negative all the time. As a negative way that preachers look at Jacob. Because he was involved with his mother, with the plan that she had so that Jacob would get his rightful blessing. Because she knew the enemy came in and tricked. Right?
Yeah.
There's always somebody that God has in this earth to do what's right by him.
Amen. Amen.
There's always a remnant. And it could mean, like Apostle was saying, it could mean that you can lose your life.
Right.
Because you stand up for what is right.
Yeah.
Right?
Lose this life.
She took a chance on doing what she did. What's that?
She took a chance on this natural life. Or take a chance on your natural life, possibly lose it for eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You stand up and you don't denounce God. He may kill you on this earth. You know, to die, not deny Christ. You know, will get you your heavenly reward.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to deny Christ. I don't care what you do to me. Because once this life is gone, I have to go to eternal rest somewhere, and I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well,
so we're talking about failure here, but favor. We're talking about favor in the midst of failure.
Mm-hmm.
God still shows his favor in the midst of the mistakes that were made.
Mm-hmm.
Esau speaks of Jacob negatively in the narrative. That's what he does. And he's preached as the negative. But we see when we look deeper, it wasn't all his fault. Amen. So Esau has a negative, he's negative towards his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. And Esau is upset, and we can understand he's upset. So he looks at Jacob as, you're the one, it's your fault. But actually Jacob's name has a connotation of the heel. It has a positive meaning according to Hebrew, as it means a rear guard, or a blessing. Because if somebody got your back, Bishop, you got my back, I got your back. Apostle got our back.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful leader, and he got our back. How? In prayer.
Yeah.
And we honor him for what he does for the kingdom.
Amen.
It's the God in this man that we honor.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the God in you, Bishop, that I honor. You're my brother in Christ, my husband, but also my brother. And I honor you as my husband and my brother because you were my brother first.
Yes.
And then you became my husband. But well, we're all supposed to be brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But we don't all think. When I say supposed to be, it's because people don't do it that way. Many people don't look at us as a brother and a sister. That's not my brother. That's not my sister. We may not have been born by the same mother and father, but we still have one father.
Amen.
And his name is Jehovah. El. Yahweh. All right? So you want to be around people that got your back. You want to be around people who are going to be there for you in sickness and in health. It's just not a marriage vow. So we should all have the same vow toward our friends.
Hallelujah.
We should be with them when they're sick. We should be with them when they're in trouble. We're going to be with them while the blessing is going on. But the blessing is, sometimes, you know, a lot of times we pray, God, get me out of this. Oh, God, how long? Friends have left. Some people have left. Where, God, where are you in this? But God is in the midst. See?
Okay.
Your sickness can be used for the glory, and it will be used when you get healed.
Awesome.
Your sickness can only be healed by God.
Yes.
We can only be healed by Jehovah Rapha.
Oh,
the medicine is not it. The doctor is not it. It's God, Yahweh, Jehovah Rapha that heals. When you get a healing and you can get up and rise up from your sickness, we got to say, thank you, Lord. When we can rise up out of a crisis, thank you, Lord. Rising up out of tribulation, thank you, Lord. Rising up and out.
Thank you, Lord.
God does that.
Thank you, Lord.
Jacob is still blessed.
Thank you, brother.
Jacob is blessed. Esau is still blessed. Amen?
Yes.
So we can't look at the entire story about Jacob and Jacob as a negative entirely. Esau was not correct when he blamed Jacob because he took away his birthright. But Genesis blames Esau for despising, that despisement, that jealousy, that hatred. In Genesis 25, it shows that he despised his brother. So Jacob, when we talked about the dream, Jacob was converted. When Jacob fled, well, Jacob was blessed to have that dream. When Jacob ran away, we talked about it last time. When Jacob ran from Esau on his way to Haran to take a wife, now, he's going the right way because he's going to keep keeping in honoring his father, honoring them by going to marry into his own family. See, Jacob is doing another thing. He's being obedient.
Yes.
So Yahweh confirms his covenant to Jacob. Just as Yahweh promised Abraham and Isaac land and offspring, he also promised to give them to Jacob. In Genesis 28, we read that in the last. Just had to touch on it a little more. We read that. We read this scripture in the last sermon. But we had to go back so we could show y'all that it's not all Jacob's fault. And it's being preached wrong in many churches. It's being preached that it was all his fault. All his fault. No, 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 no. So Jacob rejoiced that Yahweh was in that place in Bethel, remember?
Yep.
And he set up a pillar and called the place Bethel, the house of God. We talked about that in Genesis chapter 28 last time.
That's
when he saw the angels descending and ascending,
yes,
and he saw Jesus standing at the top of the stairs. He had a spiritual vision.
Who is the head?
He's up above us all.
Oh, glory.
He is the stairway to heaven. We talked about that. We climb. We go higher. We go higher in God as we learn, as we mature, as we get older. And continue to study the word of God and do the word. We climb higher. We stay on the highway to heaven. That's where we stay. And Jesus is standing, is waiting for us. Amen. But he's with us all the time. He got our back. Everywhere and in every situation, he has our back. Even when we fail. When we make mistakes.
We fall down.
But we get up.
But we are picked up.
That's right. We get up.
Picked up. We get up. But Jesus is.
He carries us. Amen. He carries us.
All of us.
He keeps us going. Mm. He gives us the strength to go on.
Oh, glory.
He gives us that perseverance.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to Lord. God. We can endure. Bishop always says it's a hardship tour, but we will endure.
Sure.
Because God got our back. He got us on the right, the left. He goes before us. He's behind us. He's all around us.
All
his presence. So Jacob has this encounter with God. He didn't know Yahweh was there in Genesis 28. But he made a vow that if Yahweh protected him, then Yahweh shall be my God, he said. Genesis 28. Around about verses 20. We read that last time. Jacob had just ran from the violent Esau. Esau is the one that wanted to commit the murder. But Rebekah did what needed to be done. She followed her spirit. She followed in what needed to be done. And people will say, well, how can you say that? God could have stopped her. But God's plan is going to go forth. Some things we do, it looks horrible, but it's for the best. Mm-hmm. It looks negative, but sometimes negative ends up being positive. You have to look at the story and this woman who heard from God. And the devil got in the mix. We have to see the serpent here. We got to see that the devil was in there, had those two boys fighting, and it was his fault that they were still fighting, men still fighting each other. It was his fault. He causes people to fight. He causes division in the church. That's division. Jealousy, envy, backbiting, all these things go on, but also righteousness goes on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Everybody is not following the devil. God has a remnant. He always will have a remnant that's going to bow before him. Amen?
Amen.
So Jacob is on his way to do what he's supposed to do. Hallelujah. And this dream that Jacob has is encouragement from God. Look, some bad things have happened, but I'm still with you, Jacob.
You're coming back here.
I'm with you. You have a promise of inheritance.
Yes.
It's what God is saying to us today. We have a great inheritance. Jesus Christ has given us a great inheritance, a wonderful inheritance of what? Salvation?
Yes.
Which brings us to eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
Because of his grace. I said because of the grace of God. Not because we earned it. No, there's no merit here. We did not earn. We do not earn grace. We cannot buy it. We're blessed with it. Amen? So he gets confirmation. Jesus is, because Jacob is feeling down, feeling depressed. His brother want to kill him. He's feeling down, feeling sorrowful. He had to leave his mother, whom he loved very much. His dad is dying. And he got to leave because his brother want to kill him anyhow. So he was told to leave and go to Laban, the uncle,
mm-hmm.
who misused Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
His family failed him, but God still blessed him. There's favor in the midst of failure. The family failed Jacob. They did.
Yeah.
They did. But the devil comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how much the devil wants to do, what God promised us is ours. And if we honor God, obey God, those promises will come to fruition. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Oh, glory.
The devil's not going to stop it as long as we don't open that door for him. As long as we stay in the house. We talked about it before. Stay in the house of blessing. Hallelujah. So that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. David said, I'm going to stay in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, Jacob didn't know that God was in that place. That was a meeting. That was a setup. God led him to where he was. God will lead us spiritually, and we don't even know that God is leading us somewhere where we will have an encounter with him. We don't know it. Like I say, we get previews. There are times when, especially if you're a seer, you see things long before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it happens, you can look at it and say, oh, that's why. That's why the Lord brought me there. That's why the Lord showed me that. Because I was supposed to pray about it. Sometimes I see things and it's disturbing. But when I see these things, it means that this is something that I got to pray about.
Amen.
I got to ask God, why are you showing me this? Sometimes we tell you and sometimes we won't. But one thing I do know, we got to be thankful. Thank you, God, for what you showed me, even though I may not understand it all yet. But I know that you're going to give me revelation. I know that by and by, like I said before, you're going to see why God had you in a certain place.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
You're going to say, oh, that's why.
That's why. Yes. Yes.
So Yahweh was in that place that Jacob didn't know about. Jacob did not expect Yahweh to appear to him in a dream. Never was a thought that he would ever see something so glorious. But he made a vow in Genesis 28. And simply what it is that I believe Bishop and Issa, what does it sound like? You're going to be my God. You know, he's making a declaration
unknown
to the
caller.
Lord.
Uh-huh.
Uh-uh. No. You can't do that. Okay, great. So he makes this vow. You will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat, clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. He's saying so I can come back in peace. He's making a declaration to God.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house.
Yes.
I'm reading from Genesis 28, but we read it last time.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 28, chapter 28, verses starting at 20. He says, you're going to be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house.
Mm-hmm.
And all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you.
That's right.
So Jacob is saying, God, I'm going to give back.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to honor you.
Jehovah said that.
Because you're going to be my God.
Hallelujah.
I look at this as a time of worship.
Mm.
He's worshiping God.
Oh,
he's making a vow, a declaration.
Huh.
I'm going to give you a part of everything that you have given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Apostle talking about it yesterday?
Yes, he was.
We got to give to get.
Mm-hmm.
Give to get. Listen. We're only doing what God said to do. We give because we want to. We love because we want to. We're kind because we want to be, because of the God in us. We're merciful because we want to be merciful. We want to be compassionate. We want to have that passion for Jesus Christ because it's in us. We're hungry. We're thirsty for God. We're hungry for God, and we want to do it. See, some people can, but they won't. Some people can give, but they won't. We can worship God and won't. We can give to God and won't. We make a decision, it's all about me. We won't do it. Not that we can't do it. We don't always have a lot to give, but we got to give some to God.
It's like the woman with the two mites. That's all she
had. That's all she had. Amen, Bishop. And she gave it.
Uh-huh. And she never was short anymore.
That's right. And she still preached about it.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going
Hallelujah.
There, still preaching.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit told him.
So God will protect him and provide for him on his journey. God is going to protect us and provide for us on our journey. No matter where he has us planted, he's going to protect us. He's going to give us. As long as we give back to God, give and it shall be given.
Yeah.
So he sets up this pillar and he would tithe all his future belongings to God. So we have a better understanding how Jacob was really blamed for this whole thing.
Yes, yes.
Jacob and his mother looked like two evil people, but God was in the mix. Remember we talked about God has plans for us in chapter 29 of Jeremiah in 11? This was a plan that God was involved in. God doesn't do evil, but the devil got in and had those boys fighting, and they fought as children. They fought because one was jealous of the other. One had the daddy's favor, the other had the mother's favor, and they were fighting. And when they were growing up, they were still fighting. So
yeah.
Jacob struggled with the wicked Esau. See, but they never preach Esau as being wicked and doing anything wrong. Even though he wanted to kill his brother, that was wrong. No matter what happened, we are not to think about, we are not to hate our brothers and sisters, no matter what they do, because we're all brothers and sisters. Amen? No matter what people do to us, we are not to hate them and despise them. We are to forgive them. And Apostle mentioned it in the message yesterday. How many times are we to forgive?
70 times 7.
70 times 7, because the question was asked, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive? In other words, do we have to keep forgiving people over and over and over and over and over? And Jesus' answer was, in essence, yes. Even 70 times 7. That means over. Over and over. As long as we're here and people do us wrong, that's what it means. Whatever wrong is coming against us, we must. We must forgive. So Jacob had the wicked Esau wanting to kill him. So while the mother was pregnant, Jacob is in the womb, of course. They're in the womb. But he's the one that's being fought because the devil tries to get in the plan. He tries to abort the plans of God, and he still does. He always will. That's his job. That's what he has a desire to do, is to abort the plan of God for your life, to kill it before it's even born.
Thank you.
Huh?
That's what he wanted to do.
So Jacob had reached one of his low points. He was sad. He was sick. He was depressed. And God shows up in a dream. Isn't that wonderful? He was forced to leave his home because his brother wanted to kill him. But God calmed his doubts and reaffirmed his promises to Jacob. Jacob worshiped Yahweh. It's evident that Jacob was already one.
Yes.
That recognized God. Amen. He already knew God. He already knew about God. So can we call Jacob righteous? Yes. He went along with his mother to the sea. But can we say, it's a question, can we say that deception is not always sinful?
Mm.
In this case, Jacob was the rightful, the one that was rightfully, he was, how do I say it?
He was the rightful.
He was the rightful heir.
That's the word I was thinking.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. The rightful heir. And so was Esau. God's going to bless both of them.
Uh-huh.
In the end of the story, they're both blessed. But he had the help of his mother, Rebecca. He didn't do that all by himself. Rebecca called in order to uphold the covenant.
Right.
It looks like deception,
we have to cover deception when we see it through God's word. We have to cover that deception. When we see it through God's word, help people open up their eyes.
That's right. Because even believers can be given the wrong ideas.
The word says even.
Or even be deceived.
Come up the elect.
Maybe deceived. But the way things are preached, if we don't really study the word, if we don't really look into it, we could be leading people along the wrong path, or we can be saying things that's not true because we have the wrong understanding. And I've always heard this word preached in a different way, that it was all Jacob's fault and his mama, the two evil ones, did so wrong to Esau. But people are not looking at what Esau did. They don't preach about Esau being a deceiver. They don't preach about Esau being one who wanted to be a murderer. They always say he just gave it up to a bowl of soup. But it's not explained. It's not explained. And the Holy Spirit had me go back here. Because it's just turning in my spirit. I was yearning in my spirit. Like, you know, something else is not right here. Something else is left out here. I got to go back.
Oh, glory.
You know, because it needs to be known that this was part of God's covenant and that the mother was spoken to. Because, see, we don't know all of the people who are listening. It could be young people on the line or anybody, for that matter, that don't know. And then when we say it a certain way, if they don't go back and study, then they'll have it wrong. It can be wrong, and we want to make sure that we're hearing from the Lord and we're reading his word and that we're doing a dissect. We got to dissect, rightfully divide, dissect the word. Study further so we can get the full meaning and you'll hear the Holy Spirit speak to you. Okay, Bishop, thank you. Because Bishop was correcting me, which made me start. I started yearning in my spirit for more, yearning for more. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the Holy Spirit. He mm-hmm. wants us to get the right understanding. He'll lead us and guide us in all truth.
Thank you.
Amen. He's our teacher.
Baba.
He's here to teach us, to comfort us, you know, be there with us all through it, all through.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a covenant. And we are under the blood covenant.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember how God used Rahab, a prostitute?
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Some people say, why would God use a prostitute? Why would they go over there to the prostitute's house? God sent them there. God knew. See, that was already in her spirit, and she didn't even know about it. She didn't know that God was going to use her. She did not know that. She's one of the unlikely ones that we would look at.
Uh-huh.
One of the unlikely ones that would do what she did.
Uh-huh.
But Rahab was used in Joshua chapter 2.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You see?
And who? She didn't know that Jesus was going to be in her lips.
That's right. She didn't
know
that. She didn't know. So don't ever think that where you are in life, if you have not been saved, or if you are saved and you feel like, you know, I don't matter. You feel like I've done too much wrong for God to use me. I've done too much wrong for God to forgive me. Not so. He died so you would be forgiven. The trick of the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Oh, no, no, no. That I could never do that. I didn't know I would be preaching. I didn't know this years ago. I didn't until God showed me who I am.
And
he shows you who you are in him.
Think about the
glory to God.
Think about this. I said, I have to start going to church. So I started going to the church down the street from us. You block. And the pastor said, wait a minute, let me see what you're going. Well, why you got to go to church like this, you know? Because it didn't seem like, you know, this is something that we weren't doing. And then after I started going, she started going to a guy that was working with her. And you know what? I'm not a jealous man. But this man came and picked her up a couple of times. We have to go to different things. Rod Parsley. Do have something going on about Rod Parsley, you know? But,
amen.
I didn't know that it was one thing would lead to another. I didn't know that.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's from there it began.
Amen.
I think it was around that time where it began. Mm-hmm. And well, I don't know. I don't know exactly where it began, but I think it began there. And God had in mind, God had us in mind to do what we do now.
Amen.
All we have to do.
Praise God. And it's not us.
No.
It's all God.
It's all God.
And that's what.
Who knew we were going to be leaving in a hurricane?
Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
So Jacob was part of that plan with his mother.
Mm-hmm.
He went along with his mother, but he was gone along with his mother in honor of his parents.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some things that our parents asked us to do that we didn't want to do.
Hey.
But we have to do it.
What's going on up there?
We have to do it because they said to do it. And if you didn't do it, you might get knocked upside your head. Apostle, are you speaking to us about something?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I know my phone. I'm off.
Oh, okay. All right.
But what looks like deception is not always for the bad.
Hallelujah.
So Jacob was the righteous one. He was doing what was right because God said, honor thy mother and thy father.
That's right.
His mother, he went along with his mother, Rebecca. So Jacob deceived his father in order to uphold the covenant.
Hallelujah. But his mother heard from God.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Rahab deceived her people in order to help Joshua.
Yeah.
She went along with Joshua.
Oh,
and if she hadn't, she would have been destroyed.
Uh-huh. All she asked was, when you come back, remember.
Remember me.
And my family.
And my family.
Oh,
and they did.
Hallelujah.
So God is going to remember you. God is going to remember you for doing what's right.
That's right.
He will remember you and your family.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it was something good that was done that looked so evil and deception. It's deception, but then it was for the good. Some things look bad, but it turns out for the good.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to work all things out for your good. The bad things that happen in your life will be turned around for the good because you love the God, because you call God, called of God, called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Because you love the Lord.
God. God.
Amen.
Man, thank you, Lord.
So even Rahab was blessed, a prostitute.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter what you're doing in life now. It doesn't matter where you are in your life now. When God comes and speaks to you, do what he says. Do what he says. Do what you feel in your spirit. God will show you who you are and whose you are. He'll show you. Rahab's whole family was blessed.
That's right.
Because she followed the dictates of her spirit.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. The spirit of the Lord was speaking to Rahab. The spirit of the Lord spoke to Jacob.
And you know,
so having righteously deceived Isaac, Jacob, he's facing a wicked deceiver in his uncle Laban.
Uh-huh.
Who deceived Jacob into marrying Leah. Another thing happened to Jacob instead of Rachel. But people say because he was a trickster, that's why it happened to him. Well, we do reap what we sow, even though his mother knew what she was doing.
Uh-huh.
But we can't make Jacob be entirely the bad guy. He was responsible for the whole thing. That's the way it's preached. So Laban sought to deceive Jacob again and again in regards to the flock, but Jacob would get the better of him through God's help.
Hallelujah.
He deceived them over and over for 20 years.
Ah.
Read the story for yourself in Genesis 30, Genesis 31. Read about how he constantly deceived this young man.
That's right.
So Jacob,
7 years.
Oh, Lord. So now Jacob tricks Laban by not telling him that he intended to go
uh-huh.
in Genesis 31. But God watched over Jacob. Why? Because he had an inheritance.
Uh-huh.
He was born into the covenant.
That's right.
Born into the blessing. And when you're born again, you're born into nothing you worked for. Your inheritance is just given to you. When you get an inheritance, most times when people give you, when you have an inheritance, it's given to you.
That's right.
It's not that you worked for it.
You might have came to work for that company. But they had it first, so they gave it to you. They just turned it over to you.
So an inheritance is so beautiful. Jesus gives us an inheritance. We have an inheritance in Jesus. We have inherited the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
So the angels met Jacob on his way to meet Esau, Genesis 32. Jacob is still fearful of Esau and prayed to God, Genesis 32 again. That night, God wrestled with Jacob and renamed him Israel. We know about the story. People preach about how he wrestled with God. He wrestled all night with God, which means he fights with God or God fights. God said to Jacob, after the fight, after he wrestled, he didn't give up. He said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. I'm not going to let go till you bless me. He continued and continued and to fight. But he said, but Jesus said to him, your name shall no longer, Yahweh says, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. Now you got a new name, but Israel. For you have strived with God and with men. And you have prevailed. See, God's going to make sure we're going to prevail. God's going to make sure that we stay in the fight.
Uh-huh.
Amen? He's going to make sure of it because you're part of the covenant. You're born into it. Hallelujah. And never, ever forget it, that God can use you no matter where you are in life.
Thanks.
No matter what your name is or your position and all of that. What God wants to do, if we allow him and stay obedient, God is going to take us to a place where he's already planned for us.
Yes.
It's already been done before the foundation of the world.
Okay. Thank you.
So, I know we're going a little long, but we're going to get to the prayer of salvation in a minute. And we got a third part because there's so much more that I got to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go back to this. Hallelujah, because the Holy Spirit led me to go back. So his name did not, his name, Yahweh was with Jacob. His name does not mean some conversion from a sinful past, but it means he was part of God's continued blessing of Jacob.
That's Thank you, Jesus.
The continued blessing of rather Abraham. Hallelujah.
All the men in nature.
God recognized Jacob for what he was, a fighter. A fighter. Are you a fighter? Are you a warrior today? Are you warring in the spirit for others? Mm-hmm. Are you fighting for your life? It's a fight for your life.
Yeah.
It's a fight. There's always good. There's always evil. And evil is steady fighting good. He was a fighter. He prevailed because of God's help. He was willing to go and fight. So we got to know from this story, stay in the fight. No matter what negatives come. But see, God is not done blessing Jacob yet, and I'll be finishing about five. He appeared again to Jacob, reaffirmed his Abrahamic promises of land, offspring, nations, and king. Read it in Genesis chapter 35. So God also commanded Jacob to be fruitful and to multiply, just as he commanded Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yes, he did.
Genesis 35. So Jacob was not only was he depicted as this evil one, but also it's been preached that everything bad happened to him because of what he did. But it's not always the case. We're fought against because of the covenant. We're fought against because of the blood covenant that we are in with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We're fought against because he hates us, that devil, that serpent hates us. So God redeems his people. He gives them a new life. He gives them the land of Canaan. And he gives us our inheritance through Jesus Christ. We're part of the covenant. So Jacob is looking to God, the greater. God is the greater than everything. He's greater than all. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob, a father of a nation. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jacob had 12 sons who formed the tribes that would inherit the promised land. And Jesus chose 12 disciples who would lead God's people into the new heavens and earth.
Hallelujah.
See, Jesus is a new Israel and a new Adam. But instead of being commanded to be fruitful and multiply like Jacob and Adam to create physical offspring, Jesus commanded his people to multiply by discipling others.
Hallelujah.
Read chapter 23. Matthew chapter 28, the nation of Israel would fail its wilderness testing, but Jesus would be faithful in the wilderness. Right. This is a wilderness of a world.
Right.
We're walking in a wilderness.
Yes.
This world is full of sin.
Mm-hmm.
This world is full of the devil's tricks, but also the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget that. The glory of God is with us.
Yes.
So Jacob was a good man, a blameless man, because it wasn't his fault what happened in the womb. It wasn't his fault what his mother heard. It's a covenant.
Mm.
God is going to make sure that his covenant comes forth,
yes,
that his promises come forth to his people. Prevail because God chose him. You're going to prevail. God has chosen you. Remember, whatever you're doing for the Lord is going to be blessed.
Yes.
It is blessed. Hallelujah. And you're never too far down to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Never too far to get down to get up.
Mm-hmm.
God is ordering your steps in his word. Order my steps, God.
Yes.
You're being ordered you get to a place and you be in the right place at the right time.
Right.
And you have to look back. And when you look back, you say, Lord, that's where you were leading me. And sometimes it just happens all of a sudden and you didn't see anything before.
Oh, glory.
It just happened. Hallelujah.
Yeah, how about that? Oh, you see something and don't know what,
right.
Why is that like that, you know?
Right. And but
it comes up on
it comes up. You come to the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So God chose him and was with Jacob. Along the way, Jacob did what was right. And he was one who went along with his mother, as we said. So God just gave me more to look at, because I've heard this thing preached over and over. Bishop, you too.
Yeah.
In all of the churches we've been in, it's been preached that Jacob was all wrong and Rebecca was all wrong. And these two were the most evil two people, and they could have done it differently, but God was leading them. God wasn't leading them into evil. God was leading them to the blessing, into temptation. But
deliver us from evil.
So
mm-hmm.
Jacob points to Christ, his death on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was deceived. Not deceived. He couldn't be deceived. But that devil sought Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That devil came to tempt him also.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your birthright. The devil was, in essence, saying to God, I'm trying to get your birthright. I want your crown. Jesus wasn't going for it. Jesus could not be deceived because he is God. He is Yahweh. Couldn't be deceived. Amen.
Didn't I tell you the devil said to give away stolen property?
Amen.
The
devil is saying, I want your crown. That's what he wants. But he can't get it. Jesus already has already destroyed the devil by his death on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The serpent's plan was killed by the Son of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
You see, the serpent only bruised, Christ healed. Oh. You see what was happening in the womb? Jacob had to heal, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So the serpent only bruised Christ's heel as God raised him from the dead and brought about the salvation of all mankind. Jesus not only crushed the head of the serpent, but he also conquered sin and death. Prevailing over all his enemies and proving himself to be the true, great Yahweh, the Son of the Living God. He proved it. So we have to properly see Jacob as one being a hero, and his mother as being a heroine, a godly man who points to one even greater than himself.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we want to point you to Jesus Christ today.
Yes.
No matter where you are in this life, no matter how, no matter what you've done, the sin is not too great.
Mm-hmm.
Except when we sin against the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Which will not be forgiven.
Oh, God.
But when, wherever you are, sin is sin. The greatest sin is sinning against the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
But all other sins are the same. If you're homosexual, prostitute, fornicator, adulterer, murderer, liar, deceiver, disobedient to your parents, whatever it is, it all comes against the Lord God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
And he gave his only begotten son so you would be forgiven. He paid your debt. You don't owe the debt. It's been paid for with his blood.
Not his debt. I mean, not his sin. Our sin.
Our sin. He paid for our sin. Yes. Sin was put upon him because he could never sin. He was holy.
Oh.
So wherever you are, just know that you can be forgiven. You can have a life in Jesus Christ. You can be born into the blood covenant, born into your inheritance. Jesus is your mediator. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus when you know that you are part of the inheritance, that I got my part in the inheritance. Hallelujah. A righteous inheritance given by God. Amen? Now go on, and Bishop is going to point you to Jesus. And remember, you haven't done so much that you feel like sin is sin. Yeah, we sinned against God, but God made a way for you to come out. God made a way for you to be forgiven. He is the way. Come to Jesus today. No matter where you are and no matter where you've been and what you've done, he can still use you. But we've got to become a righteous vessel. We've got to become clean. God is not going to use a dirty vessel. We got to come clean. And once we come clean with God and get baptized like Bishop is going to talk about. You begin to see. And appreciate God and thank him
for
where he's bringing you to.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to have your appointments with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's an appointed time for everybody. And God will put you in the right place at the right time. So you're in the right place today, just like he did with Jacob. Jacob was in the right place at the right time, and God blessed him. Amen?
Amen.
So you are blessed today to be on this line today. You are blessed. We are blessed. We are all blessed.
Yes, however.
Blessed be God, and blessed be his holy matchless name. God, thank you for this word. God, we give you a hand clap of praise for the new revelation that you have given us today, oh God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. I thank you all for coming, and I'm grateful to be here with you all. We love you.
Praise the Lord. Praise
the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Praise
the Lord. We got a part three because we're going to talk some more.
Hallelujah.
The different things that goes on with folks.
Okay, now. Basically, Apostle has set you up for the prayer of salvation.
It's a setup.
Hallelujah.
It's a setup. To get up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Set up to get up. Amen.
Do not.
Hallelujah.
I urge you to not pass up this opportunity.
Hallelujah.
No one knows when our soul will be required.
Amen.
And in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, Please read this. I'm going to tell you what it says, but please read this. And while I'm telling you, speak it.
Speak it.
Don't try to think about, yes, I'm receiving you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. No, speak it. It didn't say you have to put it on the megaphone or over CB radio or cell phone, whatever. Just speak it. If you whisper it. If you whisper,
read the book,
but speak it. But the word says,
Mute your phones, please.
Thank you. God bless you. 10 of Romans, beginning at verse 8 and going through to verse 9. The word of God says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you have to speak it. And once you speak it, that you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died on Calvary for our sins, not his. You know, sin was put upon him to save us. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And in verse 9, where confession is made, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, are now saved. Just say it out loud. I believe you, Lord Jesus. Just say it. I believe you, Lord Jesus, and I want you to be my Savior. Hallelujah. And if you do that, if you confess, verses 8 and 9, once you've made this confession, don't go back. Repentance is the next thing. Repentance. Don't go back to whatever it was that you were doing. Because if you look over and see that all the sins that had your whole life covered with sin, no matter what you were, what you did, what you said to anyone, what sins you committed, you have you're a brand new creature in Christ. You have a clean slate. There's nothing, there's no blemishes on your record. Your record has been expunged by Jesus Christ himself. Now your next step is to be baptized. And that is the way the apostles did it in the book of Acts, beginning at chapter 2 through verses 38. It starts at chapter 2, verse 38, and it goes to verse 40. Okay? But I want you to do this. Find a church. If your church does not baptize, as it says, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, find a church that will. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your church. You may love your pastor, your preacher, but if your pastor doesn't baptize in that manner, all I'm saying is in the book of Acts, as the apostles did, they said, as Peter explained and urged these people who were to be baptized, be baptized, every one of you. And it clearly states in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Which is an outward sign that you are receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's outward to people who didn't able to see you get baptized. Amen. Invite them to your baptism. Invite them. Even your worst enemy. Make a peace with that person or persons and invite them. Hey, I'm being baptized on whatever. As soon as you can be baptized, let them know when the baptism is as soon as possible. Get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you've been baptized before or not, get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The revelation is there. And if you go to the book of Acts, okay, go to the book of Acts. Lead them to the book of Acts. Chapter 4 at verse 12, where it says, nor is there any name mentioned that from heaven. There's no other name mentioned except to mankind to be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name.
Hmm.
Not Muhammad or Harvey Keck or whoever, it's an old joke about a millionaire, people would have to be old as me to understand that, because when TV first came out, but no joking now, serious business, there's no other way, no other name mentioned under heaven. No name. And you can go from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, through Revelation, chapter 22. You can read every single word. And the only place you're going to find that it says there's none other is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Read it for yourself. Every Bible I've ever seen, it's in there. So God bless each and every one of you. And any brothers and sisters who were backslidden, that they've come back home. There's going to be a celebration if you've made this sacrifice. Once you go down in that water, oh, my God, it's a feeling that you've never had before. Even if you were baptized before, if you go down, you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You die to sin and yet rise with Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So invite people, please, to your baptism,
yes.
And it will benefit you and your family members.
Right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Is everybody who you invite that comes to your baptism, maybe, just maybe, they might say, well, if he or she can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can also. And believe me, that person's salvation, it depends on, you know, if they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you get rewarded for that. Not me. You get rewarded because now you're an ambassador in Christ. That's the, if you want a title, that's the title you hold. You're an ambassador to Christ Jesus. You're leading people to God. And what do ambassadors do? They go to different countries and they teach about their country, and they lead people from other nations. They're ambassadors. They're representatives of you know, whatever country they're from. You're representatives of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, God bless each and every one of you. I know we're running short on time, Apostle, so I'm trying to give people the chance if they want to make any comments. And whenever you're ready, sir, just let me know. Okay. Apostle Calendar, it's back to you, sir.
And one more thing.
Wait, hold on. Here,
just remember that God is going to be your greatest encourager. Just like he encouraged Jacob, he will encourage you. He's the greatest, and he will put you among people who will stand with you and encourage you throughout your life, throughout the rest of your life. God is interested in every part of your life, everything that's concerning you. Our God is there to protect, to provide, to
serve,
to give you ways of escape.
That's right. He taught you how to serve.
You know, he taught, you know, so just remember that many things that have happened, it is a result of the deceiver himself, the devil.
Sure.
And he want to rob you of the life that God has planned for you. Mm-hmm. Don't let him do it. As you have received him today, go on and allow God to guide you, direct you with wisdom and understanding of his word. In Jesus Christ's name, please, please do that. And you will find that he's going to show up for you every time. God takes care of all your needs, okay? And when, just like he tried to deceive Jesus in the garden, he's going to try to deceive you. Just know that. But just know that God has already given you the victory through his blood. Amen. When he tried to deceive Jesus in that garden, he tried to tell Jesus that he could give him all the kingdoms of the world if he would just give up his crown and disobey his father. Amen. 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 We got time. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Apostle, sir, I have enjoyed this journey, this Jacob journey, and I'm enjoying my journey with Jesus Christ most of all. So, Apostle, it's back to you, sir. I just wanted to say that to encourage the people. Amen.
Well, since you let me say this, that I thought about the Holy Spirit brought it to me. When Rahab told the spies what to look for,
yeah,
to me that represented the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus is in
the and that temple. Red.
She's going to put a red sash.
That's right.
That was them not to touch anybody in the house.
That's right. Just like the blood was on the doorpost.
That's right.
That red represented the blood.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
and
you,
the
Jesus.
Blood is on your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you receive Jesus Christ, you're in the covenant, the blood covenant, and that devil hates it.
Yes.
So remember, he is going to fight you, but the fight is already won. Hallelujah. It's a fixed fight because Jesus has already done it. Hallelujah. He said, I am finished. And when he said he was finished on the cross, our salvation, eternal life, All of that was finished. Jesus did the work of the cross,
yes,
the suffering of our Savior. He
hallelujah,
was crucified.
Hallelujah,
he
hallelujah.
Suffered, died, was buried, and rose up for your victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Just remember, Jesus is your friend. He'll always be your friend. He's going to stand by you.
Friend,
when everybody
brother.
Else may leave you, God will stand by you, and you're never forsaken.
Amen.
Just remember that. No matter where you are, God is going to take care of your needs.
Amen.
No matter what you stand in need of today, our Lord, our provider, is going to provide, because many people are suffering, and many people may want to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has a great plan for your life.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Just wanted to encourage you all a little more. Okay. Because we don't know who's on this line listening. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am in the truck. I'm going to meet this guy around the corner. But I want to thank you for the word. So much has been spoken.
Please proceed to the highlighted route, then the route guidance will start.
So much has been given. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have allowed us to hear on today. We ask you, O God, to speak to your servants now and allow them to receive a fresh anointing that only comes from you. Cause their heart to overflow, O God, with a fresh anointing. And
yes,
God, even as the word has gone forth to the north, the south, the east, and the west,
yes,
we
in 7/10 of a mile,
we declare and decree that it will not return void. In the mighty
amen.
Name of Jesus, you shared so much today. You have opened up that Genesis talking about Jacob and Esau and about Isaac and Abraham and Sarah and Laban was such a powerful teaching, such a powerful teaching. And I was looking because I have that book in my computer about the names of the Bible. And Jacob, his name is also interpreted the follower or supplanter. Is also interpretations of his name. Follower because he came at the heel, on the heel of
in a quarter of a mile,
Esau.
Left turn.
And you have broken down a lot of things in the teaching that is so powerful. And I really enjoyed it. But Mother Grant is on the line, so I'm going to let her come on in and read if she is able to read.
Next line.
And I'm
yes,
going
sir.
To go back on mute. I have to go back and
yes,
listen
sir.
To it again tonight. But a lot of stuff is happening. I'm going up here to look at this job here and there.
The Lord lead you and guide you, Apostle. The Lord keep you and keep you safe on the road. Grace.
If Mother Grant can come on in, she can come on in.
In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mother Grant.
Come on in. Thank you so much.
Come on in.
And also, Apostle, I need you all to pray today.
In 1 mile, right turn.
Pray for Brother Deacon's mother. I know you probably know that she had to be go to the hospital on yesterday, an emergency.
Right, we know.
And he had sent me a text, but I didn't see the text till we got off of the line. So while I was praying for her anyway, no, but you can still pray for her today. Okay, all right.
Okay,
go ahead, Mother Grant.
She's fine, Apostle. She's okay.
No, the
she's
music.
Fine. God answered the
yes.
prayer. Okay. That's
yes. Praise the Lord. Good.
Okay, Mother Grant, we're ready for you.
All right. Yes. Hello to everybody on the line. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you.
Blessing to you. You know, oh, yes, my cousin passed away yesterday evening. The one who, turned her head. She
oh, my God.
Yes. You have our deepest condolences. Mother, sorry about your loss in your family.
Yeah.
Your condolences, our condolences are with you.
Thank you.
We're sorry to hear.